We'll cover difficult topics of life and worship, and we'll give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
God, He reigns from heaven.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, and with me, my partner, good friend on this program, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stevingville, and we are delighted to have you in our listening audience tonight. We're going to be talking tonight about the benefits of being a Christian, and one of the benefits that we're going to be talking about tonight, David, is the new gift, that is the forgiveness of sins. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, we're told that a Christian is a new creature, a new creation. Paul said, "Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new." And notice, David, that Jesus said in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto him, unto thee, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." David, when we look at the benefits of being a Christian, and we think about the being born again and being a new creature, we can't help but think about what Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 4. He talks about how that when we've been buried with him in baptism, we also walk in newness of life. There is something new, some newness, a new gift that is found as a result of being a Christian.
Well, no doubt about it. And you mentioned the new creature and the newness of life, and there are many joyful aspects of the Christian's new life. But the most basic benefit, the one of which the new Christian is immediately aware, is that gift of God, and that is that of forgiveness. Now, we want to take just a moment here and introduce some of the things that go on here at the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. We are broadcasting from Studio 4 right here in Stephenville, Texas, at the Hillcrest Church of Christ building. And we are airing on KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford Canyon and Amarillo, Texas, KWBY 98.5 FM Stephenville, Texas, and also out of Lubbock, KDAV AM 1590 and KVOP AM 1090 in Plainview, Texas, and of course we're also on the gospelradionetwork.org. So you can tune in to any of those programs anywhere you are, and we'd love to have you listen in. This program is also going to be rebroadcast tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock on Tuesday morning on this website. Now, our motto is this: you have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. And that is our purpose here on this program. Men can say things and do things and rest and distort, but we want to hear what the Bible has to say.
Exactly right.
And this is a live call-in talk show. It is a live call-in program, and the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Q is in questions, A is in answers, and then spell out B-I-B-L-E. and we will pick up the tab. It doesn't make any difference where you call us from. We're going to pick up the tab and pay for the phone call. You can also contact us through email at questions@harrisonmoore.org. That's questions@harrisonmoore.org. And that will go into my personal email box and also Tom's personal email box, and we'll get to those questions as soon as we can. If you get on the, if you go to harrisonmoore.org on the internet, you'll get to the Gospel Radio Network. There is a chat room there in the Gospel Radio Network, and in that chat room, you can communicate with us, and it will be pretty instantaneous. We'll try to pick up some of those questions and comments as we go along through the program as we can. And if you have a smartphone, you can Google harrisonmoore.org, click onto the microphone when the web page comes up, and you'll have it on your iPhone. You stick it in your pocket and listen as you go along. So,
and David, we're also live on Periscope tonight.
Live on Periscope tonight. That's over my head, Tom. So why don't you tell them about what Periscope
is? Well, there is an app where you can sign up for Periscope, and you can like certain individuals, and whenever they come online, you will get a message that we're live online. We've got some right now. I can't quite tell from this distance how many people we have coming in, but you may prefer to see some live action behind the scenes on the radio program, and you'll be able to see some of that tonight. You know, David, there are many joyful aspects to Christianity, aren't there?
Right. This gift of forgiveness is one of the great, great aspects of the benefits of being a Christian. And my question to you, Tom, tonight, and to all of the people that are listening, is why is forgiveness so important?
You know, we think about this idea of forgiveness and pardon. You know, the Bible's very clear about the fact that if we're in sin, we can't go to heaven.
And not forgiven.
That's right. You know, all of us sin and come short of the glory of God, but there is a difference in sin and forgiven sin. And David, in Colossians, let's everybody, if you've got your Bibles, turn over to the book of Colossians for a moment. And I think in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it really opens up for us, David, an avenue to really get involved in our discussion tonight. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, Paul says, "Who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins." David, that passage there, those two verses are filled with important information that helps us to understand the benefits of being a Christian.
The benefits of being a Christian. Right here in verse number 13, who, the understood there, is God. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, the power of darkness is outside of the light. Mm-hmm. It is the power of Satan. It is the power of the world. It is the power of death. It is the power of ignorance. It is the power of sin. And God Himself has delivered us. When we become this new creature that you were talking about, living in the newness of life, then we are delivered from that power. And we are translated or transformed into the kingdom of His dear Son, where there is light and righteousness and holiness and forgiveness of sin.
You know, isn't it true, David, that there's only two choices to make? Either you're in darkness or you're out of darkness.
Exactly.
There is no middle ground here. So either you've been translated out of darkness into His kingdom. And by the way, as a side note, the kingdom of God has come.
Yes.
Because you can't be translated into something that has not yet occurred. And we have a lot of premillennialists out there who believe that the kingdom is yet to come. Paul says differently. It's here. When you are in the darkness, you can be translated out of that into the kingdom of His dear Son. And notice, David, there he also says in verse 14, in whom, in Christ, we have what?
Redemption.
Redemption and the forgiveness of our sins.
And that is one of the greatest blessings that we can ever imagine, because without this forgiveness and without this pardon, we can't go to heaven. And so this is one of the great benefits that we want to talk about tonight, and it is that gift of God through the mercy and the grace of God only are we going to receive this.
Let's mention that idea of in Him for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
In Him, in Christ. Well, the question that I have, David, is how does one get into Christ?
Well, the scriptures are very clear about that. In Galatians chapter 3 and verses 24, I believe, is it 26? Verse 26, he says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." In Christ Jesus. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ."
So we're talking here about the benefits of being a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
To be in Christ is to be a Christian. Paul says we are baptized into Christ.
Absolutely.
It is in Christ where we have redemption. It is in Christ where we have the forgiveness of our sins. It is in Christ that we have been translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love.
And it is in Christ that we have been delivered from the power of darkness. And that is the beauty of Colossians chapter 1, verse 13.
Now, for our audience who are listening who like to study their Bible, I encourage you to go to the book of Ephesians someday and just look up all the passages it talks about in Christ, in Him, and see all of those things that are associated with being in Christ, and that will also give you some insight into the benefits of being a Christian. But tonight, David, we're talking about the benefits of being a Christian, and we're talking about the new gift as a Christian that we have, and that is the forgiveness of our sins. And David, this is so important because man's sin, well, that is the ultimate problem for mankind.
Well, the sin is what is going to make the separation between God and man. And there's no way that we want to be separated. Actually, death itself is a separation. But sin is the beginning of that death, as we are told in James chapter 1. But when we look at the real problem, as you pointed out, it is sin, and modern man has largely lost a realization of the reality of the consequence of this sin.
Exactly.
And what it will actually do.
Now, David, remember, we need to let our audience realize and remember that this is a live call-in program.
Mm-hmm.
And even those who might be listening on Periscope, you can call in.
Right.
A live call-in program. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about the benefits of being a Christian, a new gift, the forgiveness of sin. And David, you are exactly right that many people in our world today have lost the realization of the consequences of sin. You know, people don't even think about sin. You know, sin is, well, would you say it would be perhaps unpolitically correct, not politically correct, to say someone has sinned?
Well, obviously, in the society in which we live today, it would be politically incorrect to accuse anyone of being in sin, and yet that's exactly what the Bible does. It wants to condemn sin so people will get out of it. But people today talk about living in sin and committing sin as if it were nothing, absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they do not realize the consequences of their sin. And a lot of men and a lot of women, they fall prey to this idea of self-sufficiency. It's all about me. It's all about what I want to do, and I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps type of thing. And it's all about self. It's all about self-sufficiency. And we have some passages of Scripture that will condemn this attitude. And the first of those Scriptures is found in Romans chapter 1. And verse number 21, do you have that pulled up there?
Yeah, this says in verse 21 of Romans chapter 1, because that knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless hearts was darkened. You know, David, we're living in a day when people are more concerned with their own self-glorification and not the glorification of God. You know, David, that is one of the reasons why we're here on this earth, to bring glory to God. But our world seems to be more concerned with bringing glory to themselves, tooting their own horn,
right,
patting their own selves on the back. That's one of the big problems with sin. People don't understand the consequences of it because they're feel they're self-sufficient.
Well, Jesus points this out in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17 when he talks about these individuals who want to claim neutrality or straddling between the world and the church, or the world and Christ, and they want to claim a neutrality, and they have no idea of the sense of a relationship that they need to have with God, and that self-sufficiency he talks about. He says, because you say, now this is their idea of it, he says, because you say, I am rich and I am increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. And isn't that like mankind in his own self-sufficiency? Got a big pocket full of money, and he's got a good bank account. He's got a nice house. He's got a place to live, and he has need of nothing. Doesn't even need any friends because he's got everything. But here's what Jesus said. He said, and you know not that you are wretched, and you are miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. They're everything the opposite of what they thought they were.
Yeah.
They thought that because they were full of materialism and full of the possession of things, that they couldn't see the need for fellowship and a right relationship with God and Christ in their lives. And he says, you're miserable, you're wretched, you're poor, you're naked. You don't know what you are,
exactly.
But you're lost for sure.
You know, I just thought about, David, a passage in the book of Luke about the rich young ruler, rich fool. I call him here in my Bible. I have written down the six-eyed fool. It talks about how there was a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he reasoned within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have not where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat and drink merry. But then God said unto him, thou fool, this day is thy soul required of thee. You know, this man had trust in himself. It's all about me. It's all about I. He felt because of all the wealth and the riches that he had no need of anything else. And I'm afraid, David, there are a lot of people in our world just like that, because they have fine houses, good jobs, lots of money. Sin does not concern them.
No, not at all. It does not. And there's also this idea of self-righteousness that permeates a lot of the population, especially here in the United States of America. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 3, we're told about this self-righteousness. He says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And so sin is something that is totally disregarded as far as the consequences are concerned, and mainly because I guess they aren't getting zapped right now because of the sin in which they live.
But, conversely, associated with that, David, and self-righteousness and self-sufficiency, would you not say that pride plays a big part in a person not really understanding the consequences of sin?
Well, that's one of the avenues through which Satan operates. The
Most
lust
definitely.
Of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And if he can get somebody to be prideful enough to be self-sufficient and self-righteous, then he doesn't have any problem with them checking with God, because they don't need God in their life. They have everything that they could possibly want.
At least they don't think they need
God. Don't think
that's
that
the whole
they do.
Problem
Absolutely.
With this. And so we talk about man's sin, and that is the ultimate problem. With the banishment of sin from our vocabulary, forgiveness has been drained of its meaning and attraction. The gospel can never be joyous tidings to that humanistic culture, to that one who recognizes no need for salvation. You see, David, there's where the joy is found, when you understand the need of salvation. And you won't understand the need of salvation till you understand the consequences of sin.
Well, right. But the Christian, in contrast,
yes,
he has come to know sin's true character. And sin is a very, very devastating thing. It disrupts the relationship between God and man, resulting in death. And that's what that word separation and death means. It's kind of one and the other. It's an alienation. It's condemnation. We can look at several passages here to show you the consequences of sin. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 comes to mind. When the Israelites ask Isaiah the prophet, why isn't God listening to us? Has he lost his power? Has he gone deaf? And Isaiah responds by saying, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face that he will not hear you. Now, there are a lot of people out there that do not believe that. Now, that's what the Bible says your sin will do for you. It will separate you from God. He won't listen to your prayers, and yet people will not accept the idea that they can't just fall down on their knees and pray to God any old time they want to, and God's going to hear them whether they're walking in the light or whether they're walking in darkness.
Exactly. And that word, David, separation, mm-hmm. is closely akin to the word death that Paul mentions in Romans 6 and verse 23, where it says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That word death, David, really means separation. When we die physically, our soul and body separate. When we die spiritually, we have separation of our spirit from God. And so that's how horrible sin is. It separates us from the very fellowship of God. And, maybe we should flip over to 1 John for a moment, David, and talk something about the fellowship and the wonderful blessings that we enjoy as having fellowship with God. And then when we understand that, we'll understand how horrible it is to be separated from God.
Well, when you look at 1 John in verse 3, the Apostle John is stressing the fact and trying to encourage individuals to understand the importance and the meaning of fellowship. And in verse 3, he talks about he and the rest of the apostles. He said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And when we get here to verse number 6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. And that is because there is no darkness in God. And so mm-hmm. we can't walk in darkness and be with God at mm-hmm. the same time. There's no twilight zone here.
That's right.
You're either in or you're out. And verse number 7 says, but here's the contrast. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And there we're right back again to that great gift, the forgiveness of sin that we're talking about, one of the great benefits of being a Christian. But we've got to walk in the light.
Exactly right. And if we're not, remember, David, it says there in verse 5, God is light.
Mm-hmm.
And so walking in the light means to be walking in God, to be obedient to his will, to walk in that light. And if we're not doing that, we don't have fellowship. And that's the horrible nature of sin. You know, David, we perhaps have all been in a situation where we felt like we're totally alone. No one there, no friends, no one who cares. That's how it must feel for a one who is going to be eternally separated from the Lord. No comfort, no compassion, no love, just eternal torment. David, until a person really begins to understand sin and its ultimate problem, its ultimate consequences, not until then are they really going to understand the blessings of the forgiveness of sins. But that's what a Christian understands.
Right. And it is a crying shame that that the world has discounted sin as being nothing, because it is a very, very important thing that we recognize this, that there's no greater crisis, there's no greater tragedy that can be imagined than to cut off from God in sin. Man's most dire need is to be saved and to be cut off from God in sin, because we walk in darkness, we choose to walk in darkness, and we refuse to walk in the light. Mm-hmm. And this is an outstanding fact that belongs to the world in general, is that they don't care, because they don't value the consequences of sin as being very, very dire at all.
Exactly. You know, David, when we look at the Bible, we think about Jesus. The core message of Jesus, the core message of the Bible, concerns the forgiveness of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember the number to call tonight if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about the benefits of being a Christian, and we're talking tonight specifically about the new gift that we enjoy as a Christian, the forgiveness of our sins. And David, the core message of Jesus, the core message of the gospel, is the forgiveness of our sins. In Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer, rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
David, when we talk about that idea of preaching forgiveness from Jerusalem, what's he talking about coming to pass here in the near future?
Well, he's talking about the establishment of the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost. Up until this point, that we had the kingdom was at hand.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what John the Baptist preached. This is what Jesus preached. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And on the day of Pentecost, that great Jewish holiday, festival, you might say, it was a holy day where all Jews had to be in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit came upon the apostles. They preached that first gospel sermon. They told about the history of God's people and about the coming of the Christ, the coming of the Messiah. And then toward the end of that sermon, Peter told them, he said, "Let all the house of Israel, you Jews, know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ." And when those Jews heard that, Tom, they were pricked in their heart and they asked a question. "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were just made aware of the fact that they committed one of the most grievous sins that had ever been committed. They killed the Christ, the Messiah, the one for whom they had been waiting and praying, the Son of God. And now they're asking the question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Sin convicted them. They were pricked in their heart, and they were convicted of it.
There was sorrow there involved, wasn't there?
Absolutely.
They felt horrible that they had killed the Son of God. They're asking what can be done about this. Now, notice, Peter did not say, "Well, there's nothing really you need to do because you have already shown that you believe in Jesus, and so that's all you really have to do." That's not what he said, did he?
No.
He said that they needed to, in verse 38, Peter said in response to their question, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Dave, we see here very clearly that Paul said, while preaching in Antioch, a Pisidia in a later account, that they were going to be needed to do the same thing. But he told them here on this situation that repentance and baptism were connected with, had to be done before one's sins could
be forgiven.
Remitted.
Well, basically what he has done here, they asked the question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They wanted to get back into that right relationship with God. They knew they had ruptured that relationship. So he gave them the terms by which they can get back into that right relationship with God again. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of Jesus Christ, for a reason, for the remission of your sins. God will even forgive the killing of his Son if you'll do it his way.
You know, how many people, David, have said in years gone by, "I have just done too many evil things for the Lord to forgive me." But you know, David, all we have to do is come to him on his terms. Repent means not to only say we're sorry, but to stop doing what we're doing. For those people on the day of Pentecost, they couldn't go around killing people anymore.
No.
They had to stop that mentality. And they're asking, what do we need to do? Peter says, repent, be baptized, and have your sins remitted. You know, in Acts 22, verse 16, Paul says, be baptized and wash away your sins.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for us to realize the connection of baptism and remission of sins and having the benefits of being a Christian.
No doubt. No doubt about it. Now, the message of Christ is a message by which persons can be saved. And this is a very, very important thing. This has always been the message of Christ. He says, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, the Holy Spirit through Paul would write, he says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." But, Tom, you've got to come to a knowledge of the truth before you can be saved. That's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. They didn't know what to do. And so they had to be told by the apostles what it was, the terms of forgiveness of sin. So he wants everyone to be saved and come to a knowledge of that truth, but we've got to come to a knowledge of the truth before we can be saved.
Exactly. And this knowledge of the truth really helps us in the transforming of our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual, your reasonable service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed, notice, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. David, the only way that we're going to have our minds renewed, the only way we're going to be transformed and be a changed person, is to fill our minds with the Word of God. And it's that very Word of God, it's that gospel that teaches us what God wants us to do to have the forgiveness of sins.
Well, the number to call, by the way, this is a live call-in talk show. We'd love to hear your comments, your questions on what we're speaking about here tonight. We're speaking about the great gift of God, and that is the forgiveness of sins, one of the greatest gifts that we'll ever get from God, and it's because of His grace and His mercy that He allows these things. And the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. A Bible. Now, even though the Holy Spirit said that Jesus would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, even among Christians, there is a need for a renewed emphasis on salvation. Sometimes we take salvation for granted. Sometimes we think it's some kind of an entitlement that we've got coming because we're alive and sucking air out of the atmosphere while we're standing on 2 feet. And that is just not the case. When we look at the idea of Jesus wanting to save us and God even giving His Son as a sacrifice to do so, we need to know that this is not just some kind of an entitlement that we're entitled to, but there are things that we must do in order to be able to be saved.
You know, we're raising up a nation who thinks they're entitled to everything.
Amen.
And not only does it happen in the physical world, sadly, it is, like you say, drifting on into the spiritual realm where people think they are entitled to salvation. You know, David, when we think about baptism, there are people who many times who have not really observed the mourning of their sins before they're baptized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like those people on the day of Pentecost, they were pricked in their hearts. They were mourning what they had done. Some people, you know, don't really care about it. They just want to think they can be dunked in the water and everything's going to be just fine. But there has to be a mourning. There has to be a repentance. As a matter of fact, what we need, David, is the attitude of the psalmist, David.
And he had a tremendous attitude about sin and what sin would do to you. And in the 25th Psalm, and verses 16, 17, and 18, this is what we read. David said, "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all of my sins." This is David's plea for a righteous fellowship with God once again, because he is totally separated from God at this point because of his sin.
Look at the phrases like the troubles of my heart, mine afflictions, my travail. Here's a man who is really sorrowful, a man who is really hurting, pleading with God for forgiveness. And that's what needs to precede the forgiveness of sin.
Right.
That's what must precede the forgiveness of sin, that mourning, that great sorrow for sin.
Well, we have a lack of that today in many instances. Mm-hmm. In the 51st Psalm, in verse number 4, that David again, he says to God, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when you speak and be clear and when you judge." And then in verse 7 again, he says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Verse 9 says, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all of mine iniquities." He wants to be in a right relationship with God again, and he knows that cannot happen with sin in his life. It's got to be purged. It's got to be remitted. It's got to be forgiven. It's got to be washed away in baptism in the New Testament covenant.
Exactly right. Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about the benefits of being a Christian. And as a Christian, we have a new gift, the forgiveness of our sins. We've talked about how that man's sin is the ultimate problem. Until a man comes to understand the consequences of his sin, he is never going to desire or appreciate the forgiveness of our sins. David, this really brings us to something that really is going to help us to understand and appreciate the forgiveness of sin, and that is God's nature, the ultimate love. You know, people don't understand God. They don't understand what he is all about, and therefore they really can't appreciate the forgiveness of sin.
Well, I want everybody that is listening to please understand the great contrast that we're making here. We were talking just a moment ago about the ultimate problem.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to talk about God's nature and the ultimate love. Now, there's the great contrast mm-hmm. between the problem and the nature of God and the ultimate love of God. Now, we're going to see how God can remedy this ultimate problem that will destroy one's soul, and he's going to do it with an ultimate love, and this is going to get into God's nature and God's character.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom, the Christian's joy, the Christian's happiness has got to be grounded in the knowledge of God's character and his love for man. But we can't know about God's character, and we can't know about God's love for man without a knowledge of the truth.
Exactly. You know, we've got to then, therefore, be involved in studying his book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more I know my wife, the more I love her. And I love her more today than I did the day we were married because of my accumulating knowledge of her. The same is true with God. The more we know about God, the more we're going to love God and to understand his nature, to understand the ultimate love, the ultimate sacrifice that was made for us. But again, that can only occur as we spend time in his book. And David, God's perfect justice is perfectly balanced with his perfect mercy. Now, wrap your mind around that. When we sin, remember he says in Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Death. But then he also says, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus.
Well, the wages of sin is death. That's the justice of God. That's mm-hmm. what we deserve. And if it weren't for his grace and his mercy, we would never have the gift of eternal life.
Exactly. You know, and Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. Behold then the goodness and the severity of God toward them that fell, severity, but toward thee God's goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. His justice makes his mercy meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we think about he is just to punish for sin. But then when we have the opportunity to have our sins remitted, we begin to then better appreciate the mercy and the ultimate love of God. He does not want us to be destroyed, does he?
No.
He does not want us to be punished. Therefore, he provides mercy.
Well, in the book of Ezekiel, he says God takes no pleasure in the death of a man.
Mm-hmm.
He takes no pleasure in that death. But God, and we're talking about the character of God, and when we are in fellowship with God, we take on God's character. But God's character has revealed himself to be a God of loving kindness, a God of grace, and a God of compassion. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 37, a lawyer came running to Jesus, asking him a question and tempting him and asking, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus told him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second one is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so when we see that we are to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, that means that we are to love God first, not second.
Exactly.
We can't love somebody like that and love them second.
That's right.
It's got to be first.
The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 86 in verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and abundant in loving kindness unto all them that call upon thee. The character of God is forgiving. David, when you think about God in the Old Testament, and time after time after time after time, Israel would not do what God says. But God was compassionate. He was long-suffering.
Mm-hmm.
He put up with it for a long time. You know, and there comes a time, though, when God's through with it all.
Right.
But we see here a lot of long-suffering and compassion of God with his people. God is compassionate with us, too. He has now given us, well, right now, he has been compassionate with us to this point, with everybody, to this point that they still have the opportunity to be saved. I believe Frank's got something here for us.
Okay, you know, this reminds us of a passage back in the Old Testament, shows this same characteristic of God. Micah, the prophet, made this statement as he brought his book to a close. Who is a God likened to thee that pardoneth iniquity, passes over the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, but he delighteth in loving kindness. He will again have compassion upon us. He will tread our iniquity underfoot, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You know, this is a beautiful passage telling us something of God and God's love for man and what he desires to do.
Exactly right. So when we think about this idea of the ultimate love, we understand that his character is one of forgiving, and his joy is to save sinners, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 10, we are told there, likewise I say unto you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. That is his joy, is to save the sinner, not to condemn him, but to save him.
Exactly.
And he gives us the terms, and this is the ultimate love. We are seeing the characteristics of God here and the nature of God, and that joy of forgiveness is intensified, knowing the immensity of the sacrifice of God's love that led him to make that sacrifice on our behalf. That sacrifice was the sacrifice of his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ.
Exactly. In John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, maybe one of the most well-known passages in all the Bible,
mm-hmm.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. That's what God wants. That is the nature of God. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to have forgiveness of sins. He does not desire that we be punished. That's not his first choice. His first choice is that we be saved. That's the ultimate love of God in seeing in his Son being sent to die for us.
Right. He even makes the application of those things that are physical in this earth that mean so much to so many people. He says here, for as much, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, he says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed, you were not bought back with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, Tom, the precious blood of Christ is what bought our salvation back to God. And we are a blood-bought people, bought with the blood of the Son of God himself. And that should be something that we should take very, very seriously, because that's what it took to remedy the sin that people care nothing about and care nothing about the consequences of sin. It took the blood of Jesus Christ to get that sin out of the way. Nothing else would do.
You know, that's why we should feel so benefited and rejoice in what we enjoy as Christians, because we have been given the greatest gift of all.
Amen.
The forgiveness of our sins. And it's the greatest gift because the greatest Savior was sent in our stead, given to us by the greatest Father. You know, we think about this idea, David, of forgiveness as it is associated with being a Christian. There is no greater gift in all the world than to be a child of God. David, when we think about this idea of the blessings of Christianity, man can know no greater joy than to really understand God is for us. He wants us to be saved. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited about that, and that should encourage us. He wants us to be saved, and he takes good pleasure in our salvation. So much so, he sent his Son to die that cruel death on Calvary. And so maybe we can then say with Mary in Luke chapter 1 and verse 47, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior.
Amen.
We can rejoice.
We can. Now, for those of you who are close to a phone, you've got about 5 more minutes to call in, give us your comments, give us your question. You have heard what men have had to say about this. Now we're telling you what the Bible has to say about this ultimate love, about the ultimate problem that the ultimate love can solve. And now we're going to get into God's forgiveness, which is that ultimate gift that we have. The only reason and the only way that we can have the forgiveness of our sins is because God offered the sacrifice on our behalf. And this is the greatest gift, the ultimate gift, and it is God's forgiveness, and it only comes through Christ Jesus.
You know, we think about that idea, David, of God's ultimate gift. Notice what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2.
Before you do that, I forgot to give the phone number.
Give it away.
1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. QA Bible. Now you got about 2-3 minutes to call in, and we're going to have to split to another portion of this program.
Well, David, remember now we've got Ephesians 2, and let's just kind of mention verse 4 before we delve into our closing here. But God being rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us.
Mm-hmm.
David, when we think about what God has provided us in regard to salvation, how can we not realize the rich, rich mercy and the great love wherewith he loved us? He loved us so much that he sent his son to die that cruel death on Calvary so that we might have the forgiveness of our sins.
That's the consequence. That is the consequence. That's what we have. That's what we had to have in order to get our sins forgiven.
You know, we think about God's plan for us in mm-hmm. remission of sins. We know that we have to believe in Jesus, to have faith in him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. We already looked at a passage in John 3 verse 16, the importance of faith,
right.
The importance of believing in him. You know, on the day of Pentecost, those people at that time believed in Jesus, but they still had some other things they needed to do to be saved, didn't they?
Right. And one of those things, after they believed, after they were taught the word so that they could believe, it was then that they had to repent, and they had to change their ways from the unrighteous ways of the world to the righteous ways of God. And upon that repentance, they then were to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God,
mm-hmm.
and totally believing in that and confessing it before men. But after that confession was made, there was a great step that still had to be followed through with here, and that is that step of baptism into Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. We've already talked about the baptism into his death and the baptism into his body, and this is something that must be done, or we can't be put in a proper relationship with God to have our sins forgiven.
You know, Jesus himself said in Mark 16 and verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized mm-hmm. shall be saved." David, when they did that on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 47, we see there that the Lord added them to the church. They didn't join. The Lord added him to the church, singular, when they were baptized. But we also realize, David, that that's not the end of it.
No, that's only the beginning.
Exactly. We've got to constantly live our lives in the way God has prescribed for us in the scriptures. You know, Revelation 2 verse 10 says to be faithful unto death.
Right.
And so it's important for us, David, to really understand and appreciate what God has provided for us in his plan of salvation.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we have, David, here about 1 minute left.
Okay.
Give us a few parting words.
Well, if we've got time, I need to read our additional sponsors. I think I can go through these in about 60 seconds. Our additional sponsors for this program, we're very, very thankful for these sponsors, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and also the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. All are our additional sponsors, and we're thankful and grateful for them. And we want to thank everyone for listening tonight, and we want to pick this up again, this great benefit of God, next week, and we're going to talk about the ultimate gift, and we're going to try to finish this up next week and roll right into our next program, which is
the when one becomes a Christian.
There you go.
You know, that's very much connected with, David, this idea of the benefits of being a Christian. It's been a delight to have you in our audience. We hope that you'll join in next time right here on this same station. You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.
Great is thy faithfulness.